स्वधर्मं कीर्तिं च हित्वा पापम् अवाप्स्यसि चेत्त्वम् इमं धर्म्यम् संग्रामं न करिष्यसि। ततः स्वधर्मं कीर्तिं च हित्वा पापम् अवाप्स्यसि। माताजी सुनो। अथ चेत्त्वम् इमं धर्म्यम् संग्रामं न करिष्यसि। ततः स्वधर्मं कीर्तिं च हित्वा पापम् अवाप्स्यसि। अथ देयरफॉर चेत इफ त्वम यू इमं दिस धर्म्यम एज अ रिलीजियस ड्यूटी संग्रामम फाइटिंग न डू नॉट करिष्यसि परफॉर्म। ततः देन स्वधर्मम योर रिलीजियस ड्यूटी कीर्तिम रेप्युटेशन च ऑल्सो हित्वा लूजिंग पापम सिंफुल रिएक्शन अवाप्स्यसि विल गेन। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. Purport. Arjuna was a famous fighter and he attained fame by fighting many great demigods including Lord Shiva. After fighting and defeating Lord Shiva in the dress of a hunter, Arjuna pleased the Lord and received as a reward a weapon called Pashupata Astra. Everyone knew that he was a great warrior. Even Dronacharya gave him benedictions and awarded him the special weapon by which he could kill even his teacher. So he was credited with so many military certificates from many authorities, including his adopted father Indra, the heavenly king. But if he abandoned the battle, not only would he neglect his specific duty as a Kshatriya, but he would lose all his fame and good name and thus prepare his royal road to hell. In other words, he would go to hell not by fighting but by withdrawing from battle. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले। Can you just raise the volume a little bit? Just a little bit, yeah. श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च वांशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। अर्जुन हैज बीन एक्सप्रेसिंग वेरियस रीजंस फॉर नॉट फाइटिंग एंड वन ऑफ द रीजंस हैज बीन that he is afraid of incurring sinful reaction. He says that in this battle, I have to kill so many of my dear friends and relatives, even my elders, indeed those who are for me very worshipable. And just for the sake of a kingdom, if I have to kill hundreds and thousands of such people, I will be forced to suffer the sinful reaction for these activities. So, in this verse, Krishna is stating very clearly that it is not that Arjuna will suffer sinful reactions if he fights. Krishna says that on the contrary, he will suffer sinful reactions if he doesn't fight. Because as a Kshatriya, his primary duty is to protect the citizens, to protect Dharma. And in principle, because Dharma is the word of Krishna, so he should fight. He is fighting on a religious cause. He is not fighting on selfish grounds, on whimsical grounds, but he is fighting on the platform of Dharma, of religion. Therefore, there is no harm, there is no sin involved. Actually, in text 33 to 37, Krishna is going to describe to Arjuna the various sufferings that Arjuna will undergo should he refuse to fight. Because Arjuna is trying to make a case for his not fighting, and Krishna is making a case for his fighting. And in making a case for his fighting, he is pointing out all the problems that Arjuna will face if he doesn't fight. So here he is mentioning, then you will certainly incur sins. Sangramam na karishyasi. Sangram means fighting. That if you do not fight, then what will happen? Hitva. You will lose all your kirtim cha hitva. You will lose all your reputation. Kirti means the reputation. So, kirtim cha hitva, you will lose your reputation, and papam avapsyasi, you will incur the sinful reactions because you did not fight. You see, in the performance of prescribed duties, whatever may be our situation in life, whatever our varna, our ashram and so on, there may always be some pain involved. Because no activity in this world is free from some pain. Whatever you do, some degree of discomfort is inevitable. Even if you are right, and very often when you are right, there is some pain in the process. But one should not abstain from performing our duty simply because there may be some pain involved. Whatever you do, there is going to be some pain. After all, this is a world of distress. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It's temporary and it's an abode of misery. Therefore, the intelligent person is not afraid of facing uncomfortable situations. But the intelligent person is afraid of doing the wrong thing, which go against the principle of Dharma. Because that will bring unimaginably more uncomfortable situations. But if we tolerate the discomfort that comes with performing one's righteous duty, then eventually we are preparing for ourselves a future that will be free from pain. Ultimately, of course, we are preparing for ourselves a future in the spiritual world where there is absolutely no pain. There is only bliss. There is no illusion. There is no anxiety. Vai kuntha. Vai means without. Vigata. Kuntha means pain. Anxiety. This material world is a kuntha world, full of misery at every step. The Vaikuntha world is just the opposite. So if you want to come to a position where we can be forever free from discomfort, then we should be willing to accept certain degree of pain and discomfort by executing our prescribed duties in the righteous manner. This is the duty of every human being in any station of life. So what our prescribed duties are is what the Varnashrama Dharma tells us. Arjuna is a warrior. As a Kshatriya, his prescribed duty is to protect Dharma, to protect the Praja, the citizens, and to fight. Now if everyone gives up their prescribed duty on the grounds of some grounds which actually should be the ground for someone else to not fight, then that will set the natural order in a very disturbed condition. The Brahmanas are supposed to be averse to fighting, not the Kshatriyas. In the earlier purport, Prabhupada has said somewhere, for a Kshatriya to be on the battlefield and to become non-violent is the philosophy of fools. In the previous purport, Prabhupada mentions that. So Arjuna is at this time adopting the philosophy of fools. So therefore Krishna's duty is to correct him. And he's saying that, Arjuna, you are such a glorious warrior. You are famous as a fighter. Your kirti, your reputation has spread not only on this earth planet but all over the universe. Even in the higher planets, actually, people are speaking about your fame as a warrior. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the example of how Arjuna's reputation was known even among the circles of the demigods. He had meetings on the battlefield even with Shiva, and therefrom he received the Pashupata Astra, which is a very, very powerful weapon of Lord Shiva. In the Mahabharata, this particular episode is described very nicely by Srila Vedavyas. In the time when the Pandavas were in exile, and it was time for Arjuna to go off to the higher planets and procure celestial weapons, so that when the period of exile was over, the Pandavas could regain their kingdom with the help of these powerful weapons. Because the Pandavas knew that although they had Krishna, but from the military point of view, they needed some good weapons. So, according to Vyasadeva's instruction, Yudhishthir Maharaj was to teach some mantras, the Pratismriti mantras, to Arjuna. Then he was to learn these mantras and invoke the grace of the demigods like Lord Shiva, Indra, and so on, and get weapons from them, celestial weapons, divine weapons. So then he could fight with the Kauravas at the end of the exile period. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was very reluctant to teach the mantras for the simple reason that he would then be separated from Arjuna. You see, the brothers, the five Pandavas, were so close to each other that they could not bear any separation from each other. So the very thought that Arjuna would leave them for the prescribed duty of acquiring weapons was also painful to Yudhishthira Maharaj, but because he was Dharmaraj, he tolerated his pain and went ahead and taught these mantras to Arjuna. And then Arjuna strode off into the forest, higher and higher and higher into the Himalayas. And as he went higher and higher, he was feeling very powerful. His strength was increasing with every step. And at one stage, high on in his journey, he chanced to meet an ascetic who was meditating under a tree. And the ascetic bid him to stop and said, "What are you doing here in this region of peace, carrying weapons? Nobody comes here with weapons. This is not a land for weapons. And in any case, it seems that you are very pure, because this region has no access to anyone who is not pure. So you must be very pure because you have come here. But give up your weapons." So Arjuna thought about his brothers. He thought about his wife Draupadi, who had been insulted by the Kauravas. And remembering that, he spoke very strongly to the sage and said, "That is impossible. I cannot give up my weapons. I am here for a purpose. I am going onwards to the demigods to get weapons so that we can fight the Kauravas at the proper time." And the sage was pleased with the determination of Arjun, and he revealed himself as Shukra or Indra, the king of the demigods. Now Indra, as you know, is also the real father of Arjuna, right? So being pleased with Arjun, he said, "I will meet you at the proper time, but for now you should propitiate and obtain the favor of Lord Shiva." So then Arjuna went on into the forest, and at a particular suitable location he began to meditate and perform austerities. His austerities were terrible. For the first period, every 3 days he would eat fruit once. Then it became once in 6 days. Then it became once in 10 days, 15 days, and so on. And in this way, by performing very, very severe austerities, the celestial rishis, the sages in the higher planets, began to get a little worried. And they went to Lord Shiva and complained that we are very fearful that because Arjuna is performing such severe austerities, this will cause a disturbance in the natural order of the universe. There is so much heat being generated, and there is so much instability being created by the power of his penance. So you must do something to stop it. So Lord Shiva replied that, "Yes, I know very well why the son of Kunti is doing such penances. He doesn't want your prosperity, neither does he want your kingdom or your seat of power. So I will go and pacify him." So then Lord Shiva decided to come down to the earth, to the higher realms of the earth, where only purified souls can enter. And he took the guise of a hunter, and he came to the spot where Arjuna was performing his penance. It so happened by providence that one Danava means a demoniac person, he came there in the guise of a boar. He changed his form to that of a boar, and he came to attack Arjuna. So when Arjuna saw that this boar was attacking, he immediately lifted his Gandiva bow to shoot this boar. At the same time, the hunter also appeared there, Lord Shiva. And he had come with hundreds of female followers, because he had come in the guise of a hunter, and all these other ladies were also dressed in similar kind of jungle fashion. So immediately the hunter said to Arjuna, "Don't shoot, this is my prey. I will shoot, it's meant for me." So Arjuna ignored that and he shot. At the very same moment, the hunter, that is Lord Shiva, he also shot his arrow. Simultaneously the two arrows struck the boar, the Danava, and the Danava died. And then both of them began to claim credit for killing that boar. Arjuna said, "Why did you interfere with my prey?" And the hunter said, "Why did you interfere with my prey? I had the right. I was the first one." And so in this way, there was some argument between them. The argument got a little heated, and then Lord Shiva challenged Arjuna to a battle, and then a very fierce battle took place. Arjuna started shooting all the arrows he had in his possession, and the arrows would hit the hunter and they would just fall down, and the hunter was not even shaken an inch from his position. The hunter was just standing and taking all the arrows on his body, and nothing was happening to him. So Arjuna was getting very, very astonished to see all this. And then he started firing all his weapons one by one, whatever he had. But everything became useless. And then suddenly he discovered that his quiver of arrows, which was supposed to be inexhaustible, suddenly was exhausted. And he had no more arrows left. So then he took up his other weapons, like the sword and everything. And each time he went to hit with the sword cracked into pieces. But nothing happened to the hunter. And then eventually they started fighting fist to fist. And then finally Arjuna was almost unconscious. And then the hunter released him from his grip. And Arjuna began to think that this hunter cannot be an ordinary hunter. He must be a celestial being. He must be a deva. Otherwise, no one can withstand the force of my weapons like this. It's not possible. So could it be Shiva himself? But he was doubtful. So he retreated into the distance. He immediately fashioned a deity of Lord Shiva and then began to offer flowers. And as he was offering flowers to the deity, the flowers suddenly started falling on the hunter's head, who was at a distance. So then Arjuna understood that this was Shiva himself. So he went up to Lord Shiva, who was in the disguise of a hunter, and he prostrated himself and offered full obeisances and begged forgiveness for his offenses. So Shiva embraced him and said, "I am very pleased with your valor. Now you may ask me whatever boon you want." So Arjuna asked him that, "Please give me your Pashupata Astra, your very, very famous weapon." You see, Lord Shiva is called Pashupati. Pashupati means the Lord of the Pashus, the Lord of the animals, or those, or the Lord of humans who are like animals. So he's Pashupati. Even the Lord of the ghosts and the hobgoblins, he is the Lord of those who are in tamogun, in the mode of ignorance. So his weapon, Pashupati's weapon, is called Pashupati. So the Pashupata Astra. It is very powerful. So Lord Shiva says, "All right, here it is. I will now teach you the mantras for the Pashupata Astra. But remember that this weapon cannot be used against any human beings. It can only be used against devas or any divine forces that come higher than humans. You cannot use it for ordinary human beings." Which meant that Arjuna could not use it in the battle against the Kauravas. But nevertheless, he thought that this weapon would make him feel very strong and invincible. And one day, should the need arise, he can even use that against the Danavas and Asuras, if at all one day and there was a need. And Shiva told him that not except for myself, none of the other devas also know the mantras to this weapon. Not even Varuna, Chandra, etc., they know these mantras. So Arjuna very happily learned these mantras and learned how to operate it. And Shiva said that this weapon can be released and handled by mantra, by words, by eyes, or by the bow. So you can release his weapon simply by words, just by speaking, or just by looking in a certain way. So see how subtle and sophisticated military science was in those days. Of course, these were all celestial weapons, not available ordinarily to human beings. But because Arjuna was very special, so he was able to get this mantra and this weapon. Today everything has become so gross. Our weapons are also so gross. But in those days, just by looking, just by chanting a mantra, just by sound vibration, you could release very, very powerful weapons. So he got the weapon, and then Lord Shiva returned to his abode. He disappeared. And at that time, all the demigods led by Indra, Yamaraj, they all came there, Varuna, and each of them, it was like a big spectacle. All the demigods coming down to where Arjuna was standing in their respective vehicles. It was a grand scene. All of them came and they blessed Arjuna, and each of them gave their own specific weapon or astra to Arjuna. This is a gift from me. this weapon is a gift from me. Someone gave him the Nagapash, which is like a cord which binds in the form of a snake. Some gave so many other kinds of weapons each of the demigods gave. And then Indra also came there and he said, now you please come to my kingdom, to Swargaloka. And very soon my charioteer will come. So Indra and all the demigods departed. And soon, up in the sky, Arjuna saw a very effulgent chariot coming down with 10,000 horses. They were of a greenish golden color. And it was shining like many, many suns. And it had all kinds of weapons and nagas and all that on the different sides. And it was being driven by Indra's charioteer, Matali. And he came down and requested Arjuna to come and board the chariot. Arjuna took his ceremonial bath. He boarded the chariot. And the chariot rose into the sky and started going towards the heavenly planets. And as the chariot was rising, then he could see in the higher realms of the universe, higher than the earth, all the pious beings, the Apsaras, the Gandharvas, the Kinnaras, and so on and so, all the high ones, the Guhyakas. And he was very, very astonished to see this most wondrous spectacle. And he also recognized sometimes some old kings from the past who had been killed in the battle and had attained heavenly planets. There was his ancestor King Dilip, you know, who had tried in vain to bring the Ganges down. And he saw them all in their different effulgent forms over there. And they were all busy traveling on special airplanes which could move just by the mind of the occupant. You didn't have to deal with clutches and gears and brakes and accelerators, steering wheels. Just they would think. And their vehicles would go. And then Matali, pointing out to all these people and the planets that they were passing, he told Arjuna, so these are the places where the pious beings live in the universe. And you see their abodes as twinkling stars from your earth. So when you look up in the sky and see the twinkling, you can know that all of these are the different abodes of the pious living entities. So next time you look up in the night sky, you know that the universe is not without life. Prabhupada said every planet in the universe has life. And it has life that is of a much higher quality and form than we see on earth. Much more developed, much more pure, much more sophisticated and subtle. And they reserve the power to make themselves invisible to us. In fact, we cannot see them by our ordinary vision. Now, modern scientists are planning to send so many spaceships. There is one now currently up in the outer space. And they have a plan now to send again a manned spaceship to Moon and then on to Mars in the next 20 years. So even if they go to all these planets, if at all man is ever able to land on these planets, they will never be able to see these living entities, because they have bodies which are much finer and much subtler, although material, than the bodies that we have. So Matali gave some nice instructions about the universal geography to Arjuna and pointed out the different planets and how these different living beings are residing here. And then eventually he entered Nandanakanan. He entered the Amaravati, the capital city of Indra. And just by looking at the opulence, Arjuna was amazed. The splendor and the opulence of Indra's kingdom was unimaginable. And then Indra was very happy to welcome Arjuna. He was very, very affectionate. He embraced him and made him sit by his side in his court. And so Arjuna, in his self-same body, he attained to the heavenly planets, which is ordinarily not possible, because you can only attain to the higher planets after death. Then you get a new body in the higher planets. Very rarely do you find people going up in the same body. Of course, in the early ages, such travel was possible. And there was some freedom there to travel. But for Arjuna at the end of Dwapara, it was quite unusual also. What to speak of Kali Yuga? Now it's unheard of, and nobody will believe if you say like this. If you talk about how Arjuna visited, anyone can visit the higher planets like this, they will think it is some fairy tale. So then, having gone to Indra Loka, Arjuna also received some weapons from him. Prabhupada mentions that here in the purport also, that not only from Lord Shiva, but he also received from other demigods. So even from Indra, yes. Prabhupada says he was credited with so many military certificates from many authorities, including his adopted father Indra, the heavenly king. So Indra gave him his Vajra, his thunderbolt weapon, which is very powerful. Indra's strongest weapon is the Vajra, the thunderbolt. It is with the Vajra that he killed Vritrasura, who was very, very powerful. This description appears in the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, Indra also gave many other good instructions to Arjuna. He also told him to learn the science of music and dance that was so sophisticated it was unknown to human beings on earth. And he said, one day it will come of use to you. So Arjuna thought, well, Indra knows better. He has a higher vision about the past, present and future. So he went ahead and learned from Chitrasen. Do you know when it was useful? When did it become useful? Huh? Exile. Which year of the exile? Last year. In what way did it come in use? Yeah, he became the dance and music teacher for the daughter of King Virat of Matsya Desh. And at that time, of course, her name was what was the name of his student? The daughter of King, yes, Uttara. And Uttara eventually got married to Abhimanyu, who was the son of Arjuna. And then they gave birth to Parikshit Maharaj. So anyway, this music came in handy at that time, much later. He learnt such music and dance that was not at all available on the earthly planets. Gandharvas, because the Gandharvas are expert in music, you see. Vidyadharas, Gandharvas, especially singing. Even till today, if somebody sings very sweetly, we say, oh, he sings like a Gandharva. In fact, some of the famous classical music singers, Indian classical music singers, they have the name after Gandharva. Bal Gandharva, Kumar Gandharva, they are famous singers in India. So they call them Gandharva because they are supposed to sing so nicely. So anyway, Arjuna learnt all these arts, but he was also cursed by Urvashi that he would become a eunuch for 1 year because he resisted her advances. This was also Indra's arrangement because he understood that this would be the proper thing to happen. So Arjuna also accepted this as providence, and he understood that Indra had some plan for his welfare, and so he accepted that also with equanimity. And then he stayed in Amaravati, it is said, for 5 whole years. And in the meanwhile, the brothers, the remaining brothers, and also Draupadi Devi in the Himalayas were getting impatient, waiting for Arjuna to come back such a long time. And then Arjuna decided, now it is time for me to return. So he was escorted back to the Himalayas, and then he came back to where his brothers were. The brothers were overjoyed to see all the weapons and skills and mantras that he had learnt. So they were very happy, and now they became very, very confident. Yes, when the time comes, we shall be victorious in battle. So Arjuna was famous even before he went to the heavenly planets. Famous as a warrior. His fame was well known. And now, after having gone to the heavenly planets and received weapons from all the demigods, his power and his reputation had increased many, many times more. So therefore, now after having gone through all that, now he is here on the battlefield, equipped with all those celestial weapons, all those military certificates that he has got from the demigods, and now he says, I don't want to fight. So Krishna is saying, what is the meaning of all this? You went all the way to the heavenly planets, you spent 5 years there, you fought with Shiva, you did so many things. You got certificates from all of them, and having got all this, you say, now I won't fight. It's silly. You have got this because you were expected to. This was your duty. Your brothers also had expected this of you. Yudhishthira Maharaj taught you all these mantras. He expected you to fight as a Kshatriya. So why do you now forget your duty? It will be sinful. You will be letting down your brothers. You will be letting down all the devas from whom you obtain all these wonderful magical weapons. Of course, he also received military certificates from many others too. Even his own opponents like Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev, they also blessed him. Dronacharya also gave him some weapons, and as Prabhupada explains here in the purport, that even Dronacharya gave him benedictions and awarded him the special weapon by which he could kill even his teacher. So it was only because of Dronacharya's blessings eventually that, you know, eventually Dronacharya could be killed. So this being the background of Arjuna, such a glorious fighter with such a glorious reputation, Krishna is telling Arjuna, it is not at all befitting for you. You will lose your reputation, and at the same time, you know, you will incur sin. So this is where, so in the concluding sentence of the purport, two sentences, Prabhupada says, if he, that is Arjuna, abandoned the battle, not only would he neglect his specific duty as a Kshatriya, but he would lose all his fame and good name and thus prepare his royal road to hell. In other words, he would go to hell not by fighting, but by withdrawing from battle. Okay, so we'll stop here. And from the next verses 34 to 37, to be heard in the next few days, we are going to hear the other further elaboration on what problems Arjuna is going to face if he does not fight. So any questions or comments? Well, Shiva Jwara, your question is there any connection between Shiva Jwara and the Pashupata Astra? Well, the only connection is that both belong to Shiva. Shiva Jwara, Jwara means fever. But there is also another weapon called Vishnu Jwara. So Indra also used all these. Weapons are mentioned in the Bhagavatam also. And to counter one kind of weapon, you have to use another kind of weapon celestially. Every celestial weapon has its own counter. If you have a fire weapon, then you have to counter it with a water weapon, like that. And sometimes you have to be very innovative. To kill Namuchi, Indra had to use a foam weapon, because there was a benediction that he should neither be killed by any weapon made of solid or water, like that. So then foam is neither liquid nor solid. So Indra then had this foam weapon with which he killed Namuchi. So Shiva Jwara is also another weapon like this. There are so many creative weapons. There's another weapon where you make the adversary yawn. That's also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he keeps yawning so much that he can't fight. Obviously. He keeps yawning. So Shiva Jwara, Vishnu Jwara. Jwara means fever. These are all different kinds of weapons. Many of these are mentioned at different times in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. in the course of descriptions of different battles that take place. It would appear it is earthly 5 years, because if a celestial 5 years, that would be very, very long by earthly standards, and by that time their period of exile would have been over, right? So it was by earthly standards 5 years, because one day on the heavenly planets is 6 months here. One night there is also 6 months here. So a full 24 hours in the heavenly planets is like one full year on earth. So in other words, he must have spent 5 full days over there, 5 days and nights on the heavenly planet.
Why this universe was so pleased with Arjuna to give all such
conditions? Why were all the demigods pleased with Arjuna? Because he was a very pious living being, because he was so pious. And all that, and ultimately the Pandavas were all sons of the demigods, really speaking. Pandu was only a foster father, but the real fathers were the demigods themselves. Let us see if we remember the names of the fathers of all the demigods. The eldest, Yudhishthir. Who was Yudhishthir's father? Dharmaraj, Yamaraj. Next, Bhima. Who was Bhima's father? Vayu, the wind god. Next was Arjuna. Who was Arjuna's father? Indra. Then what about Nakul and Sahadev? The Ashwini Kumaras. Who are the Ashwini Kumaras? The doctors, the physicians of the demigods. So they're all the children, the sons of the demigods. So there's already a natural soft corner there. Plus, the Pandavas are known to be very virtuous, pious, and they are great devotees of Lord Krishna. Krishna is there. It is all part of divine arrangement. Krishna has descended here to diminish the burden of the sinful, atheistic and the demoniac people, and he is going to make the Pandavas as his instruments to do that. So the demigods are already responsible in some way to bring down Lord Krishna from his abode to the earth, to diminish the burden of Mother Earth. So they have already had a role to play. So now they want to further participate in this to accelerate the process of diminishing the burden. So they also want to help in whatever way possible by giving their weapons. Yes. The question is that when living beings from here go to the heavenly planets after death, and if they are pious enough to have a birth there, or if they have been killed in a battle as Kshatriyas, then they ascend, they attain to the higher planets, then do they have the same kind of appearance? How was it that Yudhishthir Maharaj recognized Duryodhan there in the heavenly planets, sitting there so nice and calm? Well, they may have some resemblance, but certainly the bodies are not the same. Because when this body is given up here, then you still have a material body in the heavenly planets, but that heavenly body is so beautiful and so wonderful by earthly standards. It's shining, it is effulgent. It seems as if it is going to last forever. Of course it doesn't. That also has its end. But by comparison to the earthly body, it is something very, very wonderful. But still, like, for some cases, there may be some recognition there. Like it is said there that Arjuna could recognize Maharaj Dilip. Or Yudhishthira could recognize Duryodhana. Or Sita Devi could see when they were in exile in the forest, when the time came to perform the Shraddha ceremony in the forest, then Sita Devi could personally see Maharaj Dasharatha and the ancestors coming down in their heavenly forms to accept the offerings. She made all the plates for them and they came actually in their heavenly forms to accept the offerings. She recognized, this is Maharaj Dasharatha, my father-in-law. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.